Good evening, everyone. It's time to begin. Before we begin, I just want to thank Phil for filling in for me last week. I hear he did a great job, so I'm grateful he did that. And just so you guys know, he had just a few hours of notice. It just worked out that way. So after service, give him the credit that he's due. All right. Carrie and I had a great time with the family. We went to Ohio to a water park. It was something that was unique to me. I basically got to spend my time swimming with the kids. I just followed Maddie around the entire time, and just did what she wanted to do. And that was a hoot. I loved it. Let's get started with a word of prayer, and then let's get into our section here tonight. Our Father God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the life that you've given us. Thank you for the wonderful weather that you've been allowing us to enjoy. We're grateful for what you're doing for the crops and growing them. And just we're so grateful for how you provide for your people and in just the entire earth. Father, we ask that you bless us tonight as we study your word. Help us to keep an eye on just submitting to your authority and watching out for biblical authority and looking to it for everything that we do. Please bless our classes downstairs and the teachers and the students. Please bless your people. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Let's just get right into the first question. We are on our third part of why we don't use musical instruments in corporate worship. The first question tonight in your study book, by the way, that's page 35, if you're interested in that, asks, why is music so important to our worship? Why is it so important to our worship? And before I hear your answers, because I really want to hear your answers, I want to have a volunteer, have a blind volunteer. You have no idea what you're volunteering for, but can I get a volunteer? Yeah, I didn't think so. All right. Who wants to say the alphabet? That's all I'm asking. But when you say it, you can't sing it. Who wants to say the alphabet? But when you say it, you can't sing any kind of melody. All right, stand, go. All right, pretty good. For the rest of us, who here listened to that with the tune? A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You know you did. I did, right? Music does something special for us. It helps us remember things. It helps us process complex information. It also involves our emotions, right? Music is a very special thing. So has anyone ever tried to memorize scripture and use music to do it? You guys know what I'm talking about? The fruit of the Spirit, right? I don't know that I could just spit out what the fruit of the Spirit is, but I can sing it. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. Kindness and self-control. I think it's gentleness and self-control. But anyway, the point is we remember things through music, and we often do that. Why is music so important to our worship? Lots of things. All right, Alan. God made it important. Yep, so if God says it's important, if he makes it important, it is most definitely important. Fill in the insert.
I think to your point, I mean, Colossians 3 starts it off with teaching and admonishing one another with songs and all that. And so we teach, we admonish one another, we speak to one another using those songs and everything like that, reinforcing the scripture that's given us.
So reinforcing the word, we're teaching, we're admonishing, we're correcting, if you will, one another, and we're doing it not just through speaking text, but we're singing these words. Sir?
The music often is the most emotional part of our worship service. The putting thoughts into the music, that it's amazing how much different it is when you sing it than when you read it.
Yeah, exactly. Wayne said that it's arguably the most emotional aspect of our worship. And I think God designed it that way. Worship is not intended to be rote. It's not intended to be flat and monotone. We are to worship from the heart. I mean, worship in spirit and in truth. Well, how does that happen? Part of how that happens is when we sing from the heart. Yes, ma'am. Ron is trying not to look at me, so yeah.
Yeah.
You guys remember those songs, those nursery rhyme songs, or those lullabies that maybe your mom or dad sung to you? I can. I don't know that I can remember much that I've taught my kids when they were like one or two, but I remember the songs I used to sing to them. God made our brains to work like this, to work with our spirit, to function with it. Anyone else on this? I saw a lot more hands. I didn't get to. Yes, sir.
It's just one of the things that while our worship service, that, you know, in place of our worship service, you know, the singing and the prayers and the,
right.
You know, the lesson and the Lord came more, giving back to the Lord. So it's just one of the things in our worship service that we do.
It's definitely part of a necessary part, a required part of our worship. All right, I didn't want to miss anyone on this. I thought I saw more hands. Perhaps that was all. All right, so next question. Worship has changed. Let's just acknowledge that right off the bat. Worship has changed, not necessarily in this church and not necessarily in many of the conservative churches of Christ, but let's just acknowledge among the churches in the United States, right, and perhaps even the world, worship has changed considerably in the last few decades. It's not the same as it was, say, 50 years ago. So let's treat this in a couple of parts and ask the question, how has it changed in the last few decades? And then we'll ask the second part of that is, how has it change compared to the previous 2,000 years. All right, so first part, how has worship changed in the last few decades? What have you guys seen? And maybe you're drawing from your experience with your neighbors or other people. Yes, yes, sir.
Well, you got bands. You know, you got, you had choirs before, you know. But some of them got orchestras. It's a full-blown production. It's a show. Yeah. It's entertainment. We got movies.
I'm going to get to the entertainment word in about 10 minutes, but you're right. So we've got bands now. We have orchestras now. And I really like what you said, because I've seen this too. You know, they're full-blown productions. In fact, they, as I understand it, they need to practice multiple times a week before Sunday because it is a show. All right, sir.
About 20 years ago, I was in Australia in the outback, and I went to a church that was labeled Church of Christ and was met at the door by Pastor Jenny Watson. So that was my first indication. But
Pastor Jenny, the female.
Female.
All right.
And but I went ahead and went in because I didn't have any other options at that point. And they were bringing in a rock group, a Christian rock band, from the Gold Coast of Australia. So it was a traveling group that apparently went around to different churches and performed for them on Sunday mornings during their services.
Was this like in Sydney or somewhere like, yeah, okay. All right, so Jack didn't meet Pastor Jimmy, he met Pastor Jenny, and then they were bringing in a rock group from another part of the country for their service. All right. Someone said that there used to be choirs. That was my understanding too. I remember 30 years ago, my family took a trip to the Oregon coast, and normally we would try to be back to our home base, our home church, but it just worked out. We were traveling. We wanted to find a church on the coast. We walked into a Church of Christ. They had a piano. And my dad just walked out, right? We didn't even bother because they had a piano. But normally 30 years ago, you had a piano, you had a choir, maybe you had some sort of like, you know, even like organ or something like that. But now it's a full-blown, like Rick said, you have a complete band with a light show and fog machines are normal. And it's a big production. All right, anyone else on this? How has it changed in the last few decades? Yes, ma'am.
A lot of us haven't been there to know, but I think there's probably less scripture being used.
Yeah, I've been around it, and there is less scripture in the music. It's a lot more repetitive than I remember it being, a lot more repetitive. And there's a lot less scripture, and the songs are not very deep, typically. Yes, sir.
We've forgotten who the audience is.
We really have. We really have forgotten who the audience is. Yes, sir.
One of the things that people today believe, do anything to get them in.
Yep,
whether the worship service right or not, we got lots of people coming in. Well, the thought is we need to be saving the souls, not, you know, getting people just necessarily to come, you know, to a service. So we'll do anything to get them.
Yeah, there's been a movement, especially among the evangelical churches. These are the denominations, and they call it seeker sensitive. And what they're doing is they're targeting the supposed wants and needs of their, quote, consumers and adapting their church services towards that. And like what Bruce pointed out, they're really forgetting who we're worshiping, and they've really changed that up. Yes, sir?
We went to a birthday party at a Methodist church, and it was in the youth room. They have their own band.
Yeah, right. Yeah, for the youth.
Right.
Yeah, right.
So,
yes, sir. And then, sir. Rick. I think that was a hand.
Well, I was just going to say now we're advertising our coffee bar on the internet so we can get folks in there.
Who's the we?
Coffee and brunch. Well,
yeah. Yeah, there's all sorts of... Exactly, but there's all sorts of things that are being advertised, including coffee and games. I went, I won't tell you which church it was, but one of the churches around my house advertised a pig roast. Because, you know, nothing says Christ and Him crucified like a pig roast. But yeah, there's definitely a marketing strategy going on, sir.
We were at a church in South Africa a few years ago, and I can honestly say I don't think it changed in 2000 years. It was up in the hill country, where the people were really poor.
Yeah.
And all they sang from the Psalms, the book of Psalms. Now, I didn't understand it, but it was beautiful.
So let's talk about that, Mike. Not all churches have changed, right? Here, we are, in my opinion, we are attempting to practice first century Christianity, which includes singing a cappella. So that worship has not changed in 2,000 years. But the point was made by the author that it has changed in the last two decades. And that's a pretty drastic change compared to the last 1950 years, or maybe 1900 years. Why is that? Why is that? Let's be thinking of that as we go along in our study. But that's a pretty, it's an accurate thing to point out, and it's a very interesting thing to point out. For about 1900 years, most of the churches, the majority of the churches, didn't use a lot of instruments. They kept at least loosely to the New Testament pattern. But now in the last 30 years, everything has been loosened up a lot. All right. Next question. I'm going to read the paragraph, and then I'm going to talk about the slide. So preachers during the Restoration era didn't mince words over the issue of instrumental music. Preacher Benjamin Franklin wrote sarcastically that there are three times when instrumental music would be permissible. One, if a church lost the spirit of Christ. Two, if a preacher lost the spirit of Christ. Three, if a church intends to become a place of amusement. That sounds familiar. That sounds right. Sadly, in many places, churches have become places of amusement. Today, the organ has been replaced by guitars and drums with an electronic keyboard and synthesizer. As we noticed, there's just a lot of bands out there right now. In many religious assemblies, there's little difference between what is called contemporary music, that's religious music, and secular concerts. And how does this compare with the simple worship described in the New Testament? Are you guys familiar with the term worshiptainment? And what does it mean? What's worshiptainment? I see some faces are like, what are you talking about, preacher? Anyone heard that term worshiptainment? All right, that's fair. Google it tonight after we get home. After you guys get home, don't do it now. But if you Google it, if you put it in a search engine, what you're going to find is worshiptainment is a blending of worship music and secular music. You said rock, Christian rock band. That's worshiptainment, okay? Because usually Christian and rock and band are not three words that you put together biblically, right? I'm not saying anything about rock, guys. I'm not going there, okay? But my point is, there is a blending these days. In the last two decades, there's been a blending of secular music, music that people find popular, that they enjoy, whether it's a rock or it's a rap or it's a, you know, orchestra or, you know, maybe a show down in Nashville. There's a new type of worship, and it's called worship entertainment because it's very entertaining. There's big productions that are put on. People put a lot of money and effort into the instruments and the light shows and everything, and it's designed to be entertaining. Worshiptainment. Yes, sir.
People forget that our hymn books are praises to God for something that we're saying we do.
Right.
And you know, just children music or whatever, rock music, has nothing in it about praising God. So
No, I agree with you. But have you guys, I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about or thinking of. Have you ever been to a concert, and maybe it's like a country concert, country music, and the band plays its normal set, right? And maybe by song 4 or 5, they kind of switch gears and they play kind of a gospel tune, maybe like Amazing Grace set to country music or something like that. Something that mentions Jesus or faith or what have you. I've been through those kind of concerts. Have you guys know what I'm talking about? That's a form of worshiptainment. But now imagine the whole concert's like that. That's what's happening in churches today in America. You've got music that's supposed to be worship to God, but entertaining to man. All right. How does... Yes, sir.
Well, I was just going to say, some of them are paid.
Some of the what?
Some of them are getting paid.
Oh, yes.
The sound guys, the guys yes. that do the mixing, yeah. And some of those folks that are performing, because that's what it is.
Yeah.
They're being paid.
Good. Yes. Alan?
I was going to say, while we're on this paragraph, Benjamin Franklin, the last place that he preached was Anderson, nearby us, not too far from us. And this showed the importance of this study. 3 years after he died, they brought in the instrument. Just 3 years. You can research that. And so if this kind of lesson is not taught, it doesn't, you know, and accept it, obviously, drastic changes can happen very quickly.
This is a real thing that we have to deal with, and it needs to be taught and retaught. How does the worship of America today, in general, how does the worship of America today, worshiptainment, how does that compare with what you read that faithful saints were doing in the New Testament? How does it compare?
It doesn't compare.
It doesn't compare. Do you get the idea as you read your New Testament text that worship in the New Testament was complex? Was it complex? Did it require a production? It was simple. In fact, it was so simple that anyone, regardless of musical or vocal talent, anyone can do it. What does worship require? What does singing require? What does New Testament singing require? A voice and a heart and a willingness to sing together. It really doesn't care very well, does it? All right. Who else on this? All right. 10:10. This is an interesting one. So Numbers 10:10. I wouldn't mind someone reading these. So who wants to read Numbers 10:10? I need a volunteer. Dale, all right. And I need another volunteer to read Hebrews 10:10. Yes, sir. All right, Darius. Give people a little time. I can hear rustling pages. All right, go ahead. Numbers 10:10.
On the day of your gladness also, and at your appointed feast, and at the beginnings of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over the burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. They shall be a reminder of you before your God. I am the Lord your God.
All right, so here you have a description of what was to be done under the Old Testament system of worship. There was instruments to be played, and there was some things that were specific to that old law. Hebrews 10:10.
By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all time.
Okay. And could you do me a favor, and why don't you go back to maybe verse 7.
And 7 through 10.
Yeah, give some context.
Then I said, Behold, I have come. It is written of me in the scroll of the book, to do your will, O God. After saying above, sacrifices and offerings, and whole burnt offerings, and offerings for sin you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, Behold, I have come to do your will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all.
Yeah, verse 9 says he takes away the first. He takes it away. My verse says he does away with it in order to establish the second. There's a comparison to be made here. Why does this argue, you know, against using instruments of music in assembly of worship today? In other words, why can't we go back to the Old Testament law and find our authority for musical instruments in worship today? Why can't we? The New Covenant doesn't allow. I agree with that, sir. Yes.
When Jesus made the sacrifice, he nailed the law to the cross.
He nailed that law to the cross. I think you said, you started to say he ended it. Okay.
He did end.
The Hebrew writer says he made it obsolete. Anyone here ever still use 8-tracks in the vehicle? Stan, are you serious? I love you, bro. At home? Okay. Well, that just blew my example out of the water. I was going to say, do you guys use, like, you don't use a DVD, do you?
We have.
You have? Okay. All right. Well, man, okay. I'll check next time. There is technology that we just don't use anymore because it's obsolete. Right? When's the last time you guys went to a VHS and DVD rental store here in Marion? It's probably been 2 years because, you know, the family video has been closed for that long. But 2 years ago you could, but now that technology and availability is obsolete. It's done. It's done. Alan?
An example I do.
It has changed, and there is an old law, and there's a reason it's an old law, and there's so many teachings in the New Testament that warn us against going back to the old system, the old law. If we do, then, you know, there's warnings like you're severed from grace, you're not a part of Christ. Don't go use those old wineskins, if you will. What we're talking about when we're talking about the Jewish system and the law of Moses and Christianity are two separate things. And we can't take one and try to take parts of it and add it to the other. It just doesn't work. Sean, did you have your hand up, sir? No? Okay. All right. Yes, sir.
Jesus said you can't pour new wine into old bottles that hurt.
Right.
Or you can't sew a new piece of armor on an old garment.
Besides, if we really want to use a few of the Old Testament laws, we really should be using all of them. Who wants to go back to animal sacrificing? No one.
That's the main point that he's making here about the animal sacrifices. Yeah. You know, we made animal sacrifices, they didn't do any good. They didn't take away any sins. And now Jesus has taken the sins away for good. We don't need animal sacrifices. So we don't need those anymore. We worship God a different way. So.
Good. I didn't think he did. All right. A little bit of history here. Question number five, or discussion question number five. The first Church of Christ to use an instrument was the church in Midway, Kentucky, 1860. Even then, it caused problems. One of the elders was so opposed to it that he removed it and chopped it to pieces with an axe. Where did he get the axe? But I want to meet that man. I'm looking forward to meeting that man, hopefully in the resurrection. Everywhere the instrument has been introduced, it has generated strife and division. Why? Why has it generated this? Everywhere it's been introduced. Sir?
Somebody's got to play. Somebody else wants to play.
It is a human thing. Okay, yeah. Sir?
The will of God and the will of man are not lining up with each other.
So there's a contrast between the will of, there's a contest, really, between the will of God and the will of man. They're not lining up with each other. All right, sir?
And there's things that we can differ on and work our way through, but there's things that we do together, and whatever we do together, we have to agree on, because you can't do it both ways. You know, you can't do it a cappella and do it with the instrument of music as well. So it's going to divide people when some people say, we have to use it, and other people say, I can't use it, or it's unscriptural to use it. It's going to divide the people because you can't do it both ways.
We're supposed to worship in spirit and in truth. Okay? That's the non-negotiable. We have to worship in spirit and in truth. That, to me, that means my spirit has to be completely into this and aligned with this, or it won't work. I know that some brethren, their conscience will allow, and I think they're wrong about this, but their conscience will allow worshiping with an instrument. My conscience won't allow that. So what that means is, practically, those brethren can worship here with me, right? They can do it, but I can't go worship with them. I'm right there with my dad, you know, 30 years ago. I'd walk right out of the building if I saw a piano in the worship hall. So right there is a huge problem. They can worship with us, but we can't worship with them. That's called division. And it's already been pointed out, this division is caused, the root of it is that some are not aligning with the will of God. Yes, sir?
Some churches are actually trying to have it both ways.
Right.
The morning service will be contemporary, you know.
Contemporary,
conservative,
yeah.
You know.
Did you guys hear what Phil said? So some people are trying to solve the issue through offering two different worship times with two separate worship styles. The first is usually the first is usually the traditional one. But one of them is the traditional with non-instruments, just a cappella singing, right? And the other is a non-traditional, it's called contemporary, and it has instruments, right? And the whole idea is, we can just keep the church together that way. That's just not true, though. Because right there, just right there at that point, you are dividing the church. If they're not going to worship together, you're dividing that church up and doing so along doctrinal lines. I saw a couple of hands. Some more hands. Yes, sir?
God will be pleased with us doing that. We worship him according to his will, but if we turn around and do it again, God don't want to be very pleased with that at all.
No, he's not. Yeah, he's not. There's also strife that is generated by this. So isn't just the fact that churches are divided by this? There's strife. That man took an axe. He took an axe and chopped down that that piano or that organ. He was obviously very moved from his Spirit to do that. Again, people have to worship from the Spirit, and we're told to fight the good fight. This is one of those things that's worth fighting for. And when people bring in doctrine that is opposed to God's will and not aligned with God's will, it's going to generate friction. It's going to generate and be the cause of strife. And I think you said this just a few minutes ago. Woe to the people who do that. God's not going to hold them to be innocent. Sir, I'd be a terrible auctioneer. I am just missing people's cues right and left. Sir.
I think the problem is we forget who we're striving to be in unity.
Yeah.
Ephesians 4 talks about being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the Lord. The Spirit is capitalized. So it's all of us conforming to what God wants instead of what we want. So if everybody did that, we wouldn't have half the stuff going on that we got going on.
Exactly. Yeah, this is about pleasing God, and that's a theme that we've talked about in the last three lessons. This is worship really is about God as the focus, as God as the center. Bruce talked about that about 15 minutes ago. And when churches move away from that, they really are moving away from who should be focused on. It's true that worship, especially singing, is also, we're singing to one another. This is a one another thing. But our primary focus together, as we're singing one another, is to worship God. Phil?
And the other aspect of this is that if the church or we as a community decide that we're going to go ahead and go against God's will on this behalf, then it's the open season for whatever we want, because there's other things that are out there that people are doing.
Yeah.
If this is okay, then that must be okay. And I'm going to get my way on this, so I'm going to ask for more.
It is.
And go against God's will.
Every man and woman does what's right in their own eyes, right, sir? All right. Last question then. I think we've got about 2 minutes. Since the New Testament doesn't speak of their use in early churches, and even in our historical documents, that really confirms that religious people didn't use instruments for about at least 500 years. Think about that. That's half a millennia. Half a millennia. They didn't use them. And there are plenty of documents from historians saying, here's why we didn't use them. They're from the Old Testament. God didn't authorize it. We don't want them. They don't have no part in worship. Since that's the case, that's been documented, are we to really believe that 21st century man has suddenly become enlightened and that it's now acceptable to use instruments in corporate worship? That's what we're supposed to discuss.
Just to give further background, the Jews used it in the Old Testament. The church was made up of Jews originally.
Right.
And they didn't use them.
Because we don't want to go back to
that. They had it right there in the church building.
Yeah.
And when they went into the pagans and the Gentiles, they used it in their worship. And they didn't use it in the first century. So, even then, from their change of, what they were used to in their worship, either as a Jew or as a Gentile, to idols even, they quit using them. And it was that's astounding.
So history is resoundingly against the use of it. Why in the world has modern man so quickly adopted these practices? That's really the crux of it. There's got to be a hand, Rick. Okay, sir.
In Galatians 5th chapter, Paul talked about circumcision, but people trying to go back, put that into the Christian religion, and he says, if you be circumcised, he is a debtor to the whole law, and Christ becomes of none effect to you. In other words, trying to move the two laws together
is
useless.
Right, it is. Guys, it's scary how quickly religious people in America have dismissed God's word as their authority. That's essentially the heart of this. This is why I believe, in my opinion, this is why religious people in America have shifted so far so quickly. They have ditched the authority of the word. A completely new genre of music has emerged. They're wanting to be entertained. Instead of worship the God of the universe, they're trying to entertain themselves. And when faced with objective facts of history, not only what the New Testament people did in the Bible, but what history shows that religious people did, when faced with those facts, the attitude is, who cares? That's scary. And it's also something that God is taking notice of. And so, like Alan said, and I just want to end with that, we need to take this very seriously and make sure that we don't follow suit and go down that path. All right, we are over time by about a minute and a half, so I appreciate all the discussion. Next week, we are moving on to a different topic, and we're going to talk about giving, first day giving. I appreciate that. Thank you.